Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Welcome everyone, and I hope you all had a fantastic weekend, but mostly I hope you remembered our fallen heroes. This is so important that we bring our history forward so that we understand what is going on and that we don't replicate the same mistakes over and over again. Unfortunately, our regime has no regard for America. They don't care. So now the task is going to be up to us. But the good news was, even though Biden refused to give a permit to the bikers who for 30 years have made a statement to remember our fallen heroes by a march in Washington, Biden refused to allow that to happen. They came in full force. 150,000 bikers went to RFK Stadium and had an event anyway to remember our heroes. We must never forget. We must always remember our heroes. Otherwise, we replicate, as I said, the same mistakes over and over and over again. Now, I know that we have a lot of people who are just joining now and just putting their foot in the political arena. So I have a real treat for us today. And right now, you're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the prism of America's education. I have invited a friend who probably, I believe, was the most honest politician that I have ever met. Mike Hill was the representative in Florida, and we were so lucky to have him for his time that he was there. One of the things that I always enjoyed about working with Mike is that he said, if I can't do it, I will tell you. And so he did. So he never led us down a path that he knew would not work. And that's what a politician is supposed to do. They are supposed to guide you. We all go to our local state houses and our representatives and we yell at them and we tell them things, but that's not really what we should be doing. So as we are now getting involved in politics, whether it be local or whether it be in your state house, there's procedures that should be followed to make sure that your voice is always heard. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm hoping that you can give everyone a little scenario of what they should be looking forward to and what we should be doing so that our voices are heard and the bills that are important to us, we can get passed. Thank you for joining me, Mike.
Karen, thank you for having me, and thank you for that very warm introduction. And I would like to start off by saying in the very beginning, you mentioned how over 150,000 bikers showed up in Washington, D.C. anyway to honor those who have fallen in our military conflicts and who have made us free and secure in this nation. And the point about that is even though the Biden administration did not give them their permit, the first time in history a president has done that, it was ignored. And that is what we the people means, that you have a right, you have the ability to peaceably assemble, and there's no dictator, there's no one who can tell you that you cannot. You simply do it anyway. And I'm so proud of those bikers who did that.
Yeah, so am I. It was really incredible to hear and to know that no matter what, The people are still together. We are still Americans, no matter how they try to divide us. We cannot allow that to happen. We have to use our voice. And you know what? As Mike just said, when you use your voice and it's for the right reason, great things happen. And what happened from this is that people can see that even though the government says no, you can find a way to say yes.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, Mike, I would like you, if you don't mind, to tell some of our, to tell our listeners, because I know that we have people who they're not really sure if they could, should get involved politically. They're not sure how it works. They don't know if they'll be nervous, if their voice will be listened to. They don't quite understand that the legislators are real people, too.
That's right. And they are accountable to us, Karen, to we the people. And you should make it a point to go see your legislator, let them know what you would like to see done, how you expect them to perform, how you expect them to vote. And always keep in mind, they are working for you. There are too many legislators who have the attitude and the idea that they are lording over you, and that just by you coming in and them gracing themselves with your presence, you should be happy. No, it's the other way around. They should be thankful that you are taking the time out of your day to go see them, to let them know what you want to see done in our constitutional republic.
And that is so important. It is our voice. The idea that these people are representatives should give us a clue as to what their job is. But if we don't tell them what we want, how do they know how to represent us? So one of the things that I always advocated is when you work with your legislator, put your legislator's name and phone number and email right on your phone, on your speed dial, and be in contact with them on a regular basis so that when your name comes up on their phone, they know you, they know who you are, and they know that you stand for the truth, and they know that you're watching them. I would think that that would be of utmost importance for them to know that they are being watched by the people. But Mike, what happens? I want a bill passed. So what do? I just go and yell at my legislator and tell them I want this bill passed. How does that really work? What procedure do I have to follow?
Okay, well, the first step is to contact your legislator, either your state rep or your state senator, and let them know that here is an issue that you would like to have taken care of. Let's take for an example, repealing the unconstitutional red flag law. Let's say you want to get that done. Well, you go before your legislators, make an appointment with them, sit down with them, and let them know that you want to repeal the unconstitutional confiscation of a law-abiding citizen's firearms and ammunition just based on the accusation of another person that you are unstable. Okay, so you take it to that legislator. Let's say that this is a true patriot. They are a true representative of the people. They agree with you because they swore an oath to support, protect, and defend the U.S. and the Florida Constitution. They see it's being violated. So now they agree with you. They want to run a bill to have that done. So what they do is they take that the concept, the overall concept of repealing that unconstitutional law. It could be anything else. It could be making Florida a sanctuary state for life, that abortion would not be allowed in Florida. Whatever the idea might be, give it to that legislator. That legislator then takes it to what is called bill drafting. Bill drafting, by the way, there are timelines on when this can be done. You cannot submit a bill, a legislator cannot submit a bill until 60 days before the session is due to start. So the session is due to start January of this year, and which means that bills can be sent to bill drafting as early as October of this coming year, because session starts January of 22. So the legislator will then take the idea, the concept, to bill drafting. Bill drafting will then put the bill together based on their research. And I will say that the Florida House bill drafters are excellent at what they do. What they will do is put the bill together. They will research how it affects our current Constitution, the Florida Constitution, and the U.S. Constitution, and also current Florida laws and statutes. And if it conflicts with any of those, that will be noted. Or if anything needs to be changed in current Florida statute, that will be noted. They will also do a historical analysis, and they will put the bill together. The member has the final say on what that bill looks like. So if there is something in that bill that bill drafting put together, the legislator can say, hey, I want to remove this, or I think we need to add this. And as long as it does not conflict with Florida statute, that can be done. Okay, so now that the bill has been drafted by the bill drafting, it then goes to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee chair will then assign it to committees within the House, or if you're on the Senate side, within the Senate. Now, theoretically, that is how it should work. How it actually works is the Speaker of the House or the Senate President will tell the Rules Committee Chair whether or not they want that bill to be heard. And if so, then it will be assigned to committees. If it is something that they want to get passed relatively quickly, it might be assigned to only two committees. Three at the most. If it's a bill that they really don't want, they will assign it to four or more committees, which almost always means it will fail. It's very difficult to get a bill through that many committees. And they know that. And that's why they assign it to so many committees. So then once it has been sent to a committee, the committee will hear it if that committee chair agrees to hear it. And again, oftentimes that depends on the direction that is given them by the Speaker of the House or the Senate President. So let's say that the committee chair agrees to hear the bill. They will then schedule it. It is placed on the agenda. At that time is when citizens are able to come to Tallahassee and are able to voice their opinion about that particular bill during those committee meetings. A vote is then taken during that committee, and it is either passed, where it will go on to the next committee, or it is failed because it has voted down or has been temporarily postponed by the committee chair. Once it has passed all its committees, it will then come before the floor of the House. There, it will go through its first reading. It's second reading. The first reading is when it is assigned a bill number. The second reading is when it's presented on the floor. And at that time, questions and debates are held at that time. Then it has its second reading, where it is open and subject to debate. And then the final reading, where it is voted on. If it passes the House, it also has to pass the Senate, and the same procedure is going on in the Senate. In order for a bill to become law, the House and the Senate bills must be identical. So they could be changed based on compromise, either on the House bill or on the Senate bill, so that they are identical. And then once both chambers have voted and passed it, then it is sent to the governor for signature, who can either sign it, veto it, or if he ignores it, it will automatically become law. And that is how an idea becomes a bill and then becomes law.
Mike, I had heard also that sometimes if a bill is not heard or is pushed aside, that a legislator might make it as an amendment to another bill. Is that correct? They can add amendments to a bill that has passed and see if the amendment or the change might pass. So a full bill might not pass, but portions of it could. Is that possible?
It is possible to amend another bill, but not after that bill has passed final. It has to be while it is going through its approval process, including once it is on the floor, either the House or the Senate. Then an amendment can be made to that bill to add yours on. Two things. Number one, it has to be germane to the bill that you are amending it to. We just can't add a school choice bill to a gun bill. They have to be related some sort of way. It has to be germane. And then the bill sponsor often has to agree to you amending their bill. Not always. And in fact, that question is all often asked of the bill sponsor. Is this a friendly amendment? In other words, a person who's filing the amendment, they come talk to you about it and you agree to it. If the bill sponsor says, no, this is not a friendly amendment, that will usually kill it right there. But if they say yes, then that amendment is also subject to questions and debate, and it goes on through the process from there.
Well, I want to thank you, Mike. Folks, this is not the easiest task in the world, but if you have a bill that you feel that you want passed, and for example, one of the bills that I would like to see passed in Florida this year is that the school boards are required to give the parents a teacher's manual of the text that the child will be getting in school, because too often the school boards are playing games and they're not giving the parents the teacher's manual. All the parent sees is the child's edition. Well, that's only half a loaf. So I would like to see a bill that says that in addition to the child's edition, that the teacher's edition should be made available as well. It would be in my best interest right now to go to my group, have them write up something, and begin working with my legislators now, well in advance of the bill being finalized. Would that be the way it would work, Mike?
Absolutely. The best time to see your legislator is right now when they are in their district. When they are in Tallahassee and committee weeks and session has started, it is very difficult to find time with them because so many want their time. You might get 5-10 minutes at the most, but while they are in the district, you can go and spend a half hour to an hour with them on more than one occasion. So don't wait until committee weeks start coming up, which they will in September and October of this year. Instead, start seeing your legislator right now. Make appointments with them and let them know what you expect of them and why.
Well, folks, that's the clue. That's the answer. If we are going to get involved, we've got to be involved, because remember what I always say, applying knowledge is what's power. Having knowledge and not using it doesn't mean anything. And right now in each of our individual states, it is the time to get our voices heard, to let our legislators know how they want us, how we want them to be representing us. And this is the time to do it. Thank you, Mike. That's very, very, very informative. I have another question, Mike. I have been reading so much about what is going on in the military that it is so sad to me to see this. And I know that you were in the military, so I would like to know, what do you think about our military, which was made up of the greatest and brightest, so that America was protected at all times, being turned into a woke military where diversity and race are more important than actual ability?
Yes, Karen, you're talking about the critical race theory, which is nothing more than absolute nonsense. What it does is it tries to divide and set people apart simply based on race, which is antithetical to our Constitution, to how we champion the rights of the individual, does not put you into a group. This critical race theory is nonsense. It is based on the Marxist ideology of trying to separate, divide, and destruct, and then try to rebuild with something that what they want. And the fact that it is in our military is unconscionable. And it is because our commander in chief, which is Joe Biden, is a pure leftist. He's a socialist. You might as well call him a communist, who is going to make shambles of our military should this continue. He has appointed the Secretary of Defense, who is actually a West Point graduate, but is a hard leftist, just like Joe Biden. And he never should have been confirmed by the Senate. Too many of the Republicans roll over and will acquiesce to whoever Joe Biden appoints when they should not. They should do what is best for this country and not appoint these crazy leftists who will do nothing but destroy our military and this nation unless we stand up to them. Now, as you said, Karen, I served in the military. I had the honor of attending the Air Force Academy. And I know to this day, at this moment, there are young men and women who want to attend various academies and who want to voluntarily join our military because they have a love for this nation. And even though that nonsense about critical race theory is now being forced upon them, they will still join because of their love for this nation. What we have to pray for is that they will be able to withstand this short time period, because it's only temporary, that this nonsense is going to be forced upon our military.
Yes, that is the good news, folks, is the last sentence that Mike just said. It is a short time frame. It is a short window, because we have it in our power to be able to change our legislature. And that, of course, leads me back to the fraudulent elections that have taken place that we all know are fraud. We all know what happened. One of the best places where I highly recommend for you to get information would be to listen to Steve Bannon. And why do I say listen to Steve Bannon? Because he has people come on his show that were actually there, that actually saw ballots being switched, that actually saw ballots coming in the dead of night, that actually saw the fraud that was taking place. And it is a shame and criminal that the courts did was close their eyes and say, if we don't see any fraud, then it doesn't exist. We don't have to comment on it. So rather than allowing the people, the whistleblowers, the people that filled out affidavits, all of those people come in and testify, which they were ready, willing, and able to do, putting their neck on the line for our country because they saw this fraud going on, the courts said, no, we won't hear anybody. They made a conclusion which said, oh, you don't have standing. That means that you don't have skin in the game. I don't understand how a president is the commander in chief of the entire United States, duly elected, did not have skin in the game. That one was a big question mark on me. But what do you think about what has happened and our courts that have become weaponized, Mike? What are we going to do?
Karen, that was a gross abdication of responsibility and duty. Not only courts at the federal level, but the Supreme Court also. It's unconscionable that they would not even look at the evidence. They didn't even look at the evidence and just dismissed it altogether, And I believe it was because they were cowards. They did not want to have to make a decision, which they knew the right decision would have been, because we all saw the evidence that there was widespread fraud and cheating that was done by the Democrats, and that that could have overturned that unfair election. And they knew then that Antifa and the other radicals on the left would have gotten extremely violent. Instead of being afraid of them, what they should have done was have law enforcement come forward and begin putting down these illegal activities. Once the first brick is thrown, once the first fire is started, that's when you stop it right there in its tracks. And that is what should have taken place. But instead, we had a cowardly Supreme Court who abdicated their responsibility, even though there were two on the court who did want to hear the evidence that was brought before them. And that was Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas. Those two, the true patriots, wanted to see it. Now, we had the others, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, who did not want to. They were appointed by President Trump, and they failed us, we the people. They failed President Trump, and they failed to take responsibility for what they were supposed to do, what they were appointed to do, an oath that they swore to do, that they abdicated it. And it's a shame.
It really was. And America is suffering deeply because of it. Again, it is up to we the people to make a difference. So as this evidence unfolds, it's going to be up to we the people to pressure the courts to hear these cases and to not do what they did before. And we have that to look forward to. This is an unprecedented time. And everybody says to me, but Karen, what are the results going to be? And you know what I answer? I have no idea, because this is unprecedented. But that doesn't mean that it shouldn't happen. Just because it never happened before, just because elections were never investigated the way they're being investigated today, doesn't mean that the results don't count. It just means that we're entering into new territory. Mike, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate your input. And I sincerely hope that our listeners are no longer afraid to talk to their legislators, because legislators are people too, just like us. Thank you so much, Mike, and I'd love to have you back again, because as we come into session in Florida, now again, each state is different. You have to read your own state's constitution and the makeup of the way your legislators work in your state. That's why we live in different states, because each state is different. That's the purpose of America, a bunch of different people coming together to create something incredible. And that incredible creation was the United States of America. Thank you, Mike. Where can anybody find you if they have any legislative or any question?
Well, thank you, Karen. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor. If they want to reach me, they can send me an email at Mike Hill, H-I-L-L, conservative, at gmail.com. That's Mike Hill, conservative, at gmail.com. And I will respond should I be contacted that way.
Well, thank you. And if you have any questions, Mike has been there, and hopefully he'll come back again. But that's another conversation for another time, and I wouldn't put you on the spot. Thank you. We will be right back. You have been listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, and my guest, Mike Hill. Be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, H-E-A-L-T-H-Y-C-E-L-L. And and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And I had just had the opportunity to read an article which actually fits in what Mike Hill and I were talking about the people understanding what's going on and getting involved. And nothing is more important today than people knowing and getting involved. That's the key. If we're going to straighten out America, it's going to be us that's going to do it, because believe me, our government has no desire. Biden, it seems, according to this article in the Washington Examiner, is putting forth a new bill, and he wants our legislators to sign what they call the American Families Plan. It will destroy American families, which, of course, is its objective. So what we have to think, remember when we were talking, we said whatever they say, we've got to think the opposite. And this family plan is just atrocious. I want to read you a section of it because I am in disbelief and nothing is better than reading the actual words. All right. Many parents working hard to provide their families a better life are looking for healthy, safe places where their children can learn and be nourished while they are on the job. The Biden plan purports to help with this. Unfortunately, it does not. The American Families Plan would increase Washington's control of preschool child care. That means they want your kid in school before kindergarten, 3-4 years old. What good family time do you have if you're sending your kid to school? Community college would be free. 4-year colleges would be providing strings attached subsidies to government approved programs. So yes, you could go to college for free. However, you have to get involved in a government program. And this approach stifles innovation, limits the choices available to families, and unfairly shifts the cost, the burden, to those who do not use the program. So once again, we, the people, wind up paying for programs that we will never use. And if this affects so acutely our families, which are the most important thing in bringing up a child, is having a sound family to help them get and navigate through life. This plan will destroy it, and we're going to talk more about it. But I thought Pastor Rick might have a few comments. Pastor Rick Stevens, thank you for being there as always. We appreciate it. What do you think about this great family plan?
Well, thanks, Karen. I'm always glad to talk with you, and I appreciate your kind words. And what do I think about this family plan? I have a lot of thoughts about this family plan. And I think that one of the first things that occurs to me is whenever the government comes along and says, I'm going to help you, I begin to think, now, what is it about the federal government in particular that makes them think I need their help? What do they really think about me? Do they think I'm not capable of managing my life? Do they think that I somehow am broken beyond my ability to manage that? Do they somehow think they need to pander to provide me every little thing that I think I should have because they're there and they should do it for me? I think the American people ought to step back and ask themselves, what is it in the way we operate that makes us think the government knows how to help us? I think about what Ronald Reagan said. I can't quote it exactly, but he said the government isn't there to solve our problems. The government is the problem in too many instances. And I think we've lost sight of that, and we need to recapture that and ask the real basic question, why do so many people look to the federal government to solve their problems? Are they so inept? Does the government think they're so inept? What's going on that we can no longer manage our lives? What has happened to us? And my answer is, nothing has happened to us except our attitudes and our willingness to bow down and take what they give us and assume it's for our good. We need to rethink that from the beginning to the end of that whole idea.
Oh, I could not agree more. And I believe that training is coming right out of school, because what is happening in school is that we are teaching to the emotion of the individual. And they call this new program, this is SEL, social emotional learning. Everything that's being done right now to your child in school must be seen through an emotional lens. How do you feel about that? Does that make you feel good? You're writing something. Are you feeling? Everything is feeling. And when that happens, we have to kind of think of the brain like a file cabinet. And when you learn something that's logic and reason, that gets filed in the left side of your brain. When you think about something that's emotional and has to do with feelings, that gets stored in the right side of your brain. If your file cabinet is only open for the right, is only open for emotion, then everything that you do and see is done through an emotional lens. And people get so caught up in that, and they're so trained that they have to have the right response to a problem, that they're almost afraid to answer. They're afraid to do anything. Am I going to hurt that person's feelings? Is that person going to feel bad if I have the right answer? Is that person going to think I'm a horrible being because I know the answer? We get so caught up in the emotions that we would rather let someone else, i.e. the government, make our decisions for us, because we know that the government won't hurt anybody, or so we have been trained to think. So we do everything on such an emotional level that it becomes impossible to think logically and to have common sense, because we're so wound up like an emotional knot. And then, of course, they have things that will alleviate that, like a new syndrome, a new psychiatrist, a new pill, a new something that will stop you from that anxiety that you have because your emotions are all wound up in a knot. While all of this is going on, did anybody ever think, how is this affecting my child? What's going on in the classroom? Well, let's say Johnny White and Susie Black and Jose Brown were in class, and the teacher said, what is 2 + 2? Johnny knows the answer, but he's afraid to raise his hand because the rest of the students will think he has white privilege. Susie thinks she knows the answer, but she won't say anything because what if she's wrong and the others laugh at her? She will just hurt her feelings and want to go and kill herself. Jose knows the answer, but he won't talk because he knows if he just sits there and keeps his mouth shut, he'll get a passing grade just for coming to school. How does this create excellence? The answer is, it doesn't. But the goal of school is no longer excellence. The goal of school is division. The ruling class of globalists doesn't want people to come together as Americans. They don't want the populace to think logically. They don't want the populace to think logically or to think factually. They don't want people to communicate just because they might have an opposing point of view. They don't care about the truth because the ends justify the means. They want the populace to be trained to think about how they have designed the world and to think emotionally, because emotional people are easier to control There's no opposition. They want the people to stay in their lane. And that has become the purpose of our schools. What do you think happens to a family, Pastor, when the whole motivation of the family is all centered around emotion? How does a family exist in that kind of an environment?
Well, I don't know how they exist in that environment. And you're right that we have developed a sense that we have to believe our emotions and we have to act on every little emotional impulse we have. And I've started asking myself and asking people, why do you believe your emotions? You know, why is it that you believe what you feel? What if you're wrong? What if your emotions aren't telling you the truth? What do you do then? And you know, I think we've gotten to a point where we don't even ask that question. We just tend to assume because of the way we've, I guess you've been trained or indoctrinated, or we've just gotten caught up in it, however you want to describe it, to believe that our emotions tell us the truth. Well, they don't tell us the truth. Some of us have been in traffic and we've been frustrated by the person in front of us, and it makes us want to rev up our engines and push them out of the way, but we don't do it. We know better than that. Well, I wouldn't want anybody to act on their emotions in those situations or many others. Isn't it time for us to say to our emotions, you don't tell me the truth, and I'm going to act on what I know is the right way to do it, the better way to do it, the transcendent way to do it, and leave our emotions to one side. I often say emotions are wonderful servants and terrible masters. But today we've turned them into masters and we end up serving them.
Oh, that is a really good point. Let's remember that. We become servants to our emotions. I got to remember that one. That is fantastic. I love that line. The other side of this coin is what are these decisions? What are these bills that are gimme, 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 gimme bills? Who pays for them? Where is this money coming from? Because it seems as though the Biden administration makes all of these incredible spending bills, but they have no way to pay for them. So it says that, unfortunately, the American Families Plan would increase Washington's control of preschool, childcare, community college, four-year colleges, providing subsidies but attaching strings to them. So they're going to attach strings to everything that you get, and then the burden shifts to those who don't use the program. I don't have a child in school. Why am I paying for that child, somebody else's child? I went to school myself. I paid for it. I took out a loan. I worked every summer, and I paid for myself to go to get educated. I didn't feel it was a burden on my family, and yet when they could help, they did help. That's what families are about. But you're also supposed to be building your own personal reserve, and that's what is not being allowed to happen. It says that the benefits transfer from the individual to the providers. And that's why we see the costs of everything going up, because as soon as the government guarantees money, what happens? Well, the college tuition goes up. Why? Because the government is going to guarantee the tuition. That's the way it works. The so-called government benefit makes it easier for the providers to charge higher prices. And we just have to look around right now to see what's going on. The parents who homeschool, we would have thought that they would be escaping these regulatory burdens. But no, it's going to filter into homeschool also. I don't know about you, Pastor, but I think that one of the best things that a parent can do for their child is homeschool them and get them out of these indoctrination clinics that aren't doing anything for them. What do you think about homeschool, Pastor?
I think it's a great option, and I think more people ought to take seriously the opportunity that homeschooling provides. I know that over time we've had this idea that, well, I don't know enough. How can I teach my child? Because I don't understand this subject or that subject. And in fact, most parents understand a lot that they could help their child with. But the other side of that is there have never been more tools available, more resources available to help parents teach their children. And it's much more accessible financially and in every way. And parents ought to look into it. Sometimes parents think, well, I don't know, how could I teach my child for 6 or 8 hours a day? Well, the good news is when you homeschool, it doesn't take 6 or 8 hours a day. It takes much less time because you're helping your child. And when they get it, they get it. When they do their work, they're done. So in far fewer hours, you can help your child learn in a better environment and probably learn more because it's individualized instruction that you're helping them with, you're teaching them yourself, or someone else is teaching them, maybe by way of a video feed or some other tool that helps them understand. And the child picks it up and away they go. It doesn't have to be a significant burden of time. I'm not saying that it doesn't require some energy and effort on parents' part, not at all. But I think parents ought to seriously consider how it might help them. I remember not too long ago reading about a family who, because of all of the virus stuff and the schools being closed and this and that, they decided they were going to teach their children at home. And so they did for a number of months. Well, wherever they lived, the school opened up and they had the opportunity to take their child back to school. But they decided they weren't going to do that because they had discovered that they could teach their children what they needed to learn for a day's worth of instruction in less time. Now think about this. They could teach them in less time than it took them to drive the children to school and drop them off and then wait in line to pick them up in the afternoon. That's a stunning revelation. When those parents realized what they could do, they realized it actually saved them time and it saved their stress on the household because they could do that all at home and they didn't have to deal with all of the other complications associated with going to school. It's stories like that that make me think parents ought to more seriously consider all of this and have a little more confidence that they can help their children. Now, they better help their kids, because if they don't, the kids will do what the kids can get away with. We all know how kids are. But they could also help the kids in ways that nobody else can, because nobody cares about the kid more. Nobody understands that child better than their parents. And what a great combination to help children learn and thrive in life.
You are absolutely right. And one of the other things that is very important that parents should understand is every single one of these programs, when they go in school, they take away from the instructional time, the important time that your child should be learning a skill. And instead, they are involved in some government program that's teaching them how they should feel about something or another. So when you are teaching, when you are homeschooling, and it doesn't make a difference if you team up with another family that's homeschooling. Maybe one of you is proficient in science, the other is proficient in English. It doesn't matter. Come together, work together. You will find that it is incredibly rewarding. And not only is it incredibly rewarding, your child will reap the benefit of a real traditional instructional time instead of this feel-good nonsense, which doesn't amount to anything except more and more temper tantrums. Pastor, I know that the Florida Citizens Alliance on Saturday, I believe it is the 8th, is having an event. And I know it's on Saturday, so I hope everybody will, if they listen to this show, please go to the Florida Citizens Alliance and you can get the podcast of the event. Can you tell everyone what that event is going to be focused around? Because it is very important.
Sure. It's one of our awareness events where we try to introduce people to what's going on in the schools. And it is on June 8th, but that's a Tuesday rather than a Saturday.
Okay,
so good. Parents need to plan on that for that Tuesday. And they can go to our website, floridacitizensalliance.com, or it's easier to just go to use this one, goflca.com. That's goflca.com. And you'll see right there on the website the information about this awareness event that we're having. We call it Rescuing Our Children. And it really is an opportunity for parents to see what's going on in the schools, to hear from experts in what's going on. This one's going to be in Coral Springs, Florida. So if you're near Coral Springs, Florida, we'd like to encourage you to sign up and attend in person. And if you can't, there are other ways to access it. You can find that all on the website. But one of the speakers will be Alex Newman. And Alex has been a leader in helping people understand what's really going on in the world of education. And when you listen to him speak, you can't hardly imagine all of the things he has discovered and is able to explain to us. And he's just a wealth of information and help. And we're also having Sam Sorbo. Some people might recognize her as an actress and author. She's just really outstanding and understands from a parent's side of things, all of this school dynamic. And she speaks so insightfully and so inspirational that I think parents would be amazed at what she has to share. And there'll be some other people that will make presentations by video. One of them is Duke Pesta, and he has Freedom Project Academy, which is one of those homeschool options that people ought to look into. Surprisingly affordable. Children study 4 days a week and do their work on their own on the fifth day. So the schedule is flexible. They can do it in a real time situation, or they can watch by video at their convenience. And Duke has really been one of the leaders in providing this kind of education. And they'll also see a testimonial from a mother who found her kids in just simply an untenable situation. And she was able to use one of the opportunities Florida provides to parents, the Hope Scholarship, to get her children in a much better situation. And when you hear her talk about the struggles they went through and the relief they discovered when they got their children into a school situation that suited them, it's just amazing. And I want to encourage people to check that kind of stuff out. They can also look at some of these ideas that we have both on the goflca.com website, and particularly for people interested in homeschool, go to our other website, libertyscholar.org. That's libertyscholar.org. And there are videos from parents who have done the homeschooling effort on their own. They can coach you through that. There is just a wealth of information to answer your questions, to get you started, to help you realize this is doable. And I could do this to help my children. And it's amazing to me. It didn't used to be this way, but it is now. There are so many resources to help parents figure this out that I would encourage everybody to take a look at it. You may decide you can't do it for one reason or another. You have to make the best decision for yourself and for your children, but don't assume that you can't until you go to look at those things. And go to libertyscholar.org and see what I'm talking about. You just might discover something you never imagined was possible, and your children will thank you for that more than you could ever know. No parent wants to get to the point in their life where their child graduates from high school and find themselves disappointed by what they didn't learn and asking mom and dad, why didn't you help me? Why didn't you understand this? All parents want their children to come to that point in their life, glad for what they've learned, excited about the future. That's what we want for you and for your family.
Absolutely. And please make sure that you get a hold of your legislator. Remember what Mike said, now is the time, and tell them this is a federal legislator, that the American Families Plan is an absolute non-starter. It should not exist. It should not be there. All it will do is give our children, our grandchildren, more and more debt to play while piling more and more regulations upon them, taking away from precious school time. And besides, unbeknownst to most people, Head Start, which is the preschool program touted by everyone, doesn't work. The children that go through Head Start are not smarter, don't read any earlier, don't do anything except be away from the precious time that they should be with their parents and their family. Nothing is more important to a child than the boundaries, the roots, and the values of their family. This is the most important thing, and we have to take it upon ourselves to do that. And for those of you that think homeschooling is hard, go to Public School Exit, which is Alex Newman's new website. Alex is a father of five, and he and his wife homeschool their children, and I have met them, and they are incredible, incredible, knowledgeable, wonderful to be with young boys and girls. So anybody can do it. Anybody who can read can homeschool their children. And if you can't read, learn to read with your children. There's nothing wrong with doing that either. This is the most important time that you have with your family. Take advantage of it. Pastor, we are at the end of our show. My goodness, did that go fast. Can you end us with a prayer?
Sure, be happy to. Let's pray. Father, our hope is in you, and we are grateful that you help us through life's difficulties. And we pray today, especially for parents raising their children in difficult situations, trying times. I pray especially for them and their education that you would give the parents both the wisdom and the courage to explore the opportunities that are out there, to not assume they can't, but to rather assume that they can, and that they will investigate and seek and find the help and the hope that their children need. Children really are capable of learning a lot of things, and we want to help them do that. So we pray your blessing upon the children and their parents, that they would find the way through all of this that will give them the life you always intended for them to live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I want to give a little plug to myself, if you don't mind, everyone. I have my website is Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N.com. And that will take you to my page within the AmericaOutloud.com network. And there you will be able to find my podcasts of old shows and my articles. And these articles are directly pointed at education. They explain what's going on. It is so important. I don't have children in school. That's not an excuse. I'm sorry. We have to take it upon ourselves to say all children, none of them should ever be subject to what these programs are subjecting them to. And we will be talking more about them next time when we come back. You have been listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education. Pastor Rick Stevens, my guest. It is always a pleasure. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and make sure that you listen to the Florida Citizens Alliance Rescuing Our Children. GoFLCA.com. Thank you. Have a wonderful week. But,